Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 241. Larry here, and I have a very, very special guest with me this week. Anthony couldn't make it this week. I think he's finally moved into he's settling into a castle, finally, the last few weeks. He's been moving around, and I don't know where he is now.
I miss him, man.
Already, right? Show just barely started, and trust me, it's always different when he's not here. But first time on the show, but a longtime friend of mine, Felix from Flexo Productions. Felix, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, and I would like to start by saying congratulations to you. 5 years.
Yes. 5 years as a podcast. It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And keep going. More and more and more. Everybody has to love retro gamers, man. This is all about love.
It really is. I mean, nothing really kind of brings the world. People saying the Olympics bring the world together. Video gaming brings the world together.
Oh yeah.
And we're gonna get into it. We got some good stuff to talk about, a couple great arcades, some news, some more viewer and listener mail. But first, being first time on the podcast, again, Felix, we've known each other for a few years now.
A long time, man. Over 10.
Real quick to the audience, let us know what you're about. You have a wonderful comedy and your production.
Give us a quick hit on what it's all about. So basically, it all started last year during the pandemic, November 25th, actually. I said the date. And what I did was I took, since I do so many different characters, you know, we have the Italians, we have the dancing, we have Dominican Stone Cold, we have all that. So what I wanted to do was put it all under one roof, right? So I just wanted to bring my own production and bring it to life, LLC, official.
There you go.
And, you know, that's how you got to do it. So I want to create a platform so for other artists, other comedians to eventually come over and we start promoting bigger and bigger and bigger. So we're small now. Like I said, we just started. But you got to start somewhere. So
absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing, you know?
Absolutely. And again, it's called Flexo Production. I got it right here. Right there. Here we go. Working man. Yes,
right
I like
there.
It.
Right
he's only been around for a little over 6 months. He's got more merch than we do, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm still waiting. What? I want my retro podcast, man. I need that.
The first season with the taxes, I'm like, we have to figure something out.
Yeah, man. It's serious. I'm gonna feel that this year. I'll tell you that. I'm gonna feel that this year.
It's a little weird, but it is what it is. And we actually also ran into each other a few years ago. We did a convention in Brooklyn at Aviator, which was a great convention, very fun convention. Met a bunch of people there and ran into you. And I really didn't realize how much of a gamer you really were until you were at that show.
Yeah, man.
I think there was like an NBA Jam tournament or something like that they were
second
doing.
Second place.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
I will never forget it, man. I actually right in that convention, they were selling NBA Jam Tournament Edition, and I didn't have that. So I bought it, you know, because I have to get my revenge, but I don't know when that's gonna happen. But that was
system?
That convention for Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
SNES. But that day was very special to me because I never knew about the Vectrex.
Oh, right? Really?
And this was my first time holding it in play. I was there for like an hour.
That is
on the Vectrex.
This is what I love about retro. Okay, so this convention we're talking about was probably 2-3 years ago, maybe at this point. And the Vectrex is from the 80s. And for those who don't know, the Vectrex is just very much, it's vector lines. It's as clear as day. And it
super
makes it
clear.
Wonderful humming noise that will make your ears bleed after a while. But the system, I'm trying to get my hands on the Vectrex. I would love to.
Yeah, man. I've seen it's around like 800 right now, like 700, 800. I've seen it, yeah.
But it's up there. The Vectrex, like the Virtual Boy, like you mishandle it lightly and it's going to break on
that's
you.
That's it, yeah.
Very good. But you enjoy it. So that was something new to you. That's awesome.
So
many years
new,
later.
Man. So it was... I couldn't believe it. You know, I was like, this is how people actually game back then. You know, it was like, I was literally mesmerized. I was there for an hour. The people looking at me like, there's so much other stuff. I was like, I don't care. Like,
leave me alone. Let the child play the veteran out loud.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
So growing up then, what systems did you have growing up?
I have to start with the master of all masters, the Nintendo system. Okay. Original. And then, you know, Super Nintendo, Genesis. I was blessed with having a TurboGrafx-16 at
the
time.
Did you really?
Yes.
One of the few.
Very, very, yeah, a lot of people came over. A lot of people came over.
No,
so it was like Ninja Spirit, Bonk's Adventure, Vigilante was up there. Dungeon Explorer was one of my, you know, it was one of the original RPGs type Zelda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was good. So the only thing I didn't get to get was the TurboGrafx CD attachment.
That was hard to get. And it was almost out of the price range then. Now forget about
Super.
It.
Super. Yeah, especially a Neo Geo. One of my friends had a Neo Geo.
Really?
At the time.
Wow.
And then we used to, there was a video store two blocks down from here called West Coast Videos.
Okay, so you grew up where?
In Forest Hills, Queens.
Okay, Queens. All right.
So they had, that was the first system that had the memory card ever.
Basically,
so the memory card, we used to take it and go to West Coast Videos, use it in the Neo Geo and continue the game. It was way advanced for its time.
Neo Geo, I can't, because Neo Geo carts were so ridiculously expensive. It's not even funny.
Like $250, like somewhere
at least.
$180.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool that you had a TurboGrafx. All right. Man. Which one did you favor? Like TurboGrafx, Nintendo, Genesis. Because we go through this. Me and Anthony, we're Nintendo through and through.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, I'm the same. I'm definitely more Nintendo. There's a very big difference because I loved the Jackie Chan game for Nintendo. It was Jackie Chan, I forgot the name.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was such a really good game. So when I got to play that later in life, the TurboGrafx version, It does wonders compared to the Nintendo. You know, like
it's a whole different system. Not literally, but just the way it was presented.
TurboGrafx.
Oh, it's so great to know someone else. I only knew one friend of mine had it. I did not. One friend of mine had TurboGrafx growing up. Wow. So it's great to know that someone else had it growing up.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. I've told the story. It's not a sob story, just it is what it is. I had all my stuff, lost it in the hurricane, you know, in Sandy. It is what it is. Do you still have some of your old stuff by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You were a victim of Funko Land?
No. Those guys used to overcharge, man. And they used to make, those were the original robbers. Those were the original robbers, man. Yeah. You go in there, you buy a game, and you just came back to return the next day. The value is like 25 cents.
Basically.
You know, you gave us 50, we gave you 25. You know, that's how it was, man. And you had to go through it. You know?
And look, no regrets. No regrets of selling anything back then. Nowadays, maybe a little different. But
I love your collection, by the way. I'm like mesmerized the whole time.
Oh, the Funko Pops?
It's ridiculous. I was like this, right?
Bro, these are literally half of them. The other half are in the back room. I'm just storage right now. Oh, my God. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I need more room. I moved up here because I needed the extra room, and I'm out.
Oh, man. And then you picked up the Slurpees, right? Well, that was the other day? The Slurpees? The 7-Eleven Slurpees.
So I went in 7-Eleven for completely unrelated. Actually, I was getting some chips and stuff for Slammiversary. Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
So, and I look off to the side, and you know, they have the 7-Eleven exclusive pops. And I'd already gotten the Deadpool one. I'm like, okay, I'm good. But then they had the Slurpees. I'm like, no. So now I'm holding up the line.
I mean, this is real.
And I'm seeing different. So now I gotta figure out how many different colors there are. So now I'm looking through, you know, 41-year-old looking through the pop vinyls. And the kid behind the counter is like, so you into Star Wars? I'm like, yeah. And there was nothing Star Wars, nothing Star Wars. I wasn't wearing anything Star Wars. And I'm like, yeah, I'm into it. Like, I like him, but I'm not like a super fan, you know?
But
what are you into, Star Trek? I'm like, there's just Star Wars and Star Trek. There's nothing else.
There's nothing else.
They're good. He's like, you going to Comic-Con? I'm like, oh boy.
Oh like, man. I'm not if going you to say Comic-Con. Yes, you're going to be there for and a no, long I time.
Should, I'm like, you know what? I'm skipping this year, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm starting to get, now he's trying to sell me on pops. Like, you know, why don't you get the Deadpool? So I'm like, I already have one. You don't have the other one? No, I don't. When you get the other one, I just want these four. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, come on, man.
It's like also when I went in, when the Steve Austin one, the exclusive 7-Eleven Steve Austin one came out, I went in.
You have that?
No, not. Well, my friend of mine picked it up. I just haven't gotten it yet. He was able to find it for me. But I walked in and I'm like, do you have pop vinyls? Because so first I had to ask that question. And the kid behind the counter, not even kid, the older gentleman looked at me like I had seven heads. I'm like, the little toys with the big buggy eyes. Do you have those? Yeah. Like, maybe I have a few in the back. Do you have Steve Austin? It's like, who? I'm like, not the $6 million man. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Do you have him? Let me go check. Long story short, they didn't have it. So I'm like, all right, whatever. But sometimes these pops, and I thought, you know, sometimes I'm like, let me just limit myself when I walk into a store. But the 7-Eleven thing, man, I was like,
I'm telling you, that I would be the same way. The
getting
same
one, I'm getting
way.
Them all.
Yeah, that's it, man. No, but going back to the Austin,
yeah,
they have the two versions. They have the one where he's like, yeah, but I have to.
Oh, when when it was the two man power trip.
Oh my god! When I went there, I saw that. And I was like, no, man. We went all around the area for the 7-Elevens. They didn't have it. So
it's crazy. Yeah, it's like so hard, limited. Man. Buddy of mine found it out here in Long Island. If I ever see one, I'll let you know. I'll try to pick
please,
one up.
Oh, please, man!
I'll keep
definitely.
An eye out.
Definitely.
So we've already digressed. This is how this episode is going. Yeah. I like it. No, we're good to go. We're speaking of Austin. So going back to you, my friend Felix. Mm-hmm. Again, I've watched some of your stand up that you've put online. Yeah. Very funny stuff. I'm not just saying that to give you a rub. It is very funny stuff.
I really appreciate it, man.
You kind of started with the videos with the dancer.
Yeah.
And then the best is when Instagram started cracking down on music.
So yeah, man.
Then you had to start working yourself around it, but just watching dance at like City Field and everything.
Yeah, man. With the Mets, we did the Yankees.
The poofy hair, you got the pants, the leggings with your picture on them. It's hysterical. And I always thought that was funny. And then, bro, you broke out Dominican Stone Cold.
That's right.
I got it. You broke out Dominican Stone Cold. I sold me on that. That's one of the funniest things. And you teamed up with some people. Man. You're doing an angle with a guy with the Undertaker. Like with the Stone Cold thing, that just you just started doing it. And you're like, you know what? I think I got something here.
Yeah, man. Like when I was in like in eighth grade, I was with Yari, actually, a good friend of ours.
Yes, great.
And I couldn't, I don't know, I was like, I was so obsessed with Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. So I started developing, you know, like, hello, you know, what, you know what I mean? And it started coming out. And we went to school one day and I was like, I did the impression for Yari. Yari's on the floor. What? I can't believe this.
I can picture that too.
Yeah, like he's like, what? You know, so, and it was such a, you know, we were around so many people. So people started asking for it. They were like, Felix, do it again, do it again, do it again. So I, one day, I you know, was doing my, you know, routines and practicing. And I was like, you know what? I'm Dominican, right? I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's try to put this together. So I started doing, okay, fiesta la leña. You know, like, you know, and trying to put Stone Cold, you know, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so. So in Spanish, it's, yes, la línea para abajo, porque Stone Cold dice. You know, so after that, everybody started, you know, I started getting the buzz and everything was hitting. So that's basically how I developed Dominican.
That, the Dominican, you know? And I don't know a word of Spanish, and it is a fun, I'm sitting there laughing at myself. I don't know what you're talking about, but it is just hysterical. And I'm waiting for the day. For Austin to retweet you or something because
funniest
goddamn things ever. So
I would go bananas, man. I would save that. I would have to put that everywhere.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, like, we'll have to. And then you got the K shirt and I lost it. So awesome stuff. So going back to the games, because Anthony's probably losing his mind right now when I talk about video games. So going back to your gaming, all right, so big love for Nintendo. You had Sega, you had the Genesis, right? I think you said the Genesis. TurboGrafx. So I know you're a Nintendo fan, but it doesn't have to be a Nintendo game. What game is your go-to game growing up?
Oh, man, that's a lot. A tough one. I would have to – I would – I would have to go with Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
Classic. All right.
Definitely up there. Contra. Mm. You got to put Contra, Super Contra, either or.
And Bill. I dropped him. Are we still here? All right, we're still going. Okay.
Oh my God. He comes with the cigar.
He does.
He has the cigar in his mouth. Yes. Oh man. I don't know how they didn't get sued by Arnold, right? Like, or Sylvester.
Honestly, even back then, when the game came out, I'm like, this cover looks familiar. I'm pretty sure like my dad saw these movies. So very weird.
Every time I seen that, I was like, what is this? And going back, I'm sorry, we get so excited.
No, I like
Tecmo Super Bowl. Tecmo Bowl.
Yes.
Tecmo Bowl is up there.
Classic. Classic.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Great games. And then of course, you know, life, we grow up, you know, things happen in our lives and everything. So let me ask you a question. At what point then do you discover like retro gaming? You know, we all hit that point in life where like, all right, maybe not so much with the old stuff, new games, new systems. All right, we're going. But something clicks at some point where we're like, you know what? The older stuff is almost better than the newer. Like when did you start kind of coming around, if you will, to retro?
I would say it's always been here. You know, there was so many new games that I look and I'm like, oh, this was designed because of this game, or this game came from this game, or, you know, so like I've always catered way towards retro. You know, I'm still playing right now. I'm actually playing Alien vs. Predator Extinction.
Ooh.
For Xbox Original, which is 2003. Okay. So it's like Command and Conquer, but Alien Predator. I've never seen this game, like, and it was like so. I love it. Like, it just sucks it doesn't have skirmish. You know, the skirmish mode is you have to do missions all the time.
But that was before all that, so probably like right before it. Yeah. All right, it's, you know,
I've always been a retro to the heart.
I like it. And I was gonna say, like, what are you playing? Anything even retro? Like, are you playing anything now? Because you posted something the other day on Instagram. It was like a handball game or something like that.
Yeah, it was squash.
Squash
arcade. So I got this thing called the 4K gaming stick.
Okay.
So I seen it from Metal Jesus. Angry Video Game Nerd, and then I also watched this other guy that reviews like consoles from China.
Okay.
So that's all he does. So when I seen this, I was like, retro, you know, like, oh, this has 4,000 games, and you know, they always say, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, I was a little skeptical, you know, but it was $50 when I got it. So I was like, $50, okay, let me try it out. And you just put it on your TV, you plug it in with HDMI, and you have all these systems.
There you go.
So I do not regret it. And plus, you can add games.
Okay.
So I added WWF Superstars Arcade. It came with WrestleFest, so I was already. Okay. Dragon Breed is one of my favorite games that people do not know about. I'm like, Dragon Breed was so good. You know, for arcade, it's ridiculous. You know, so after that, I've just been playing that. Like, I've just games on, you know, Biochemical Toy. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Why does that one sound familiar?
Biochemical Toy. It was like an arcade. Like in between. It was really good. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. All right. Yeah, so definitely you're into it. And as we're going to move on here, so you'll be able to roll here with me with some of these games that we're going to talk about. Before we get into that, because we got a couple of arcades actually that we're going to be talking about. I do want to move on to a little bit of a response from last week. A friend of ours, Nathan, emailed the show asking me about HDMI wires. So now, Felix, you have like that one unit, which is real easy. You plug it right in, you're good to go. I have a continual headache from trying to fit all these game systems onto a television with four inputs,
and
drives me nuts. So I've in the past, I've talked about all these HDMI splitters that I've ordered from Amazon, you know, five in, one out, four in, one out, whatever. And I've always had an issue with them. And before I knew how easy it was to return stuff to Amazon, they'd end up on the Staten Island landfill, you know.
Because
I'm like,
oh, yeah, you throw them
out. Forget it. I'm done. Out. So what I did was, and I was going to talk about it, but when I got it in the mail, I'm like, this is crazy. So long story short, I had ordered this 16 in, one out HDMI switch.
Wow.
It's a Test Smart 16 in, one out. It's from Amazon. It's like $200-something.
Jesus.
Hold on. So I'm like, I have no choice. This is the only thing that's probably going to work. And then I thought, to after it got delivered, I was still on Amazon and I saw like these little stickers that are wire holders for like $8.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? Because I got to get up to turn these old systems on anyway. You know, not everything's all couch worthy.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
you
know what? Screw the splitters. I bought just a bunch of clips that I stuck onto the side of my entertainment center. And I just put all the HDMI wires of the old system, the analogs, the Dreamcast, the Xbox, the old Xboxes and stuff. And then I have just a long HDMI extender from the TV. And I'm just going to plug them, plug in, plug out, whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
I returned that other switch, so I'll get that money back. And I'm like, let me work smarter, not harder. You know, Anthony's always talking about me, you know, wasting my money, which is 90% true. But at least with this thing, I'm like, problem solved. So Nathan, I'm just going to throw it out there to you. There is no HD. There's no magical HDMI switch that's going to work. They all suck.
Yeah. So I mean, I tend to agree. I agree.
You know, because it's that automatic switch. You know, one system is going to be a little overpowering than the other, and it just changes the channel in the middle of the gameplay.
Yeah, it sucks. I actually have one right here. I don't know if you got
a splitter.
Yeah, I actually have a splitter right here. SGEYR. I don't know. It's a 5-in-1 switch, but it doesn't go like once I put my PS3 on and my PS4. Once I get to from PS4 to PS3, it doesn't show, and I have to get up and turn it off, or take out the HDMI, put it in, take it out, put it in, wiggle it, you know,
just a little bit. You know, actually the PlayStations have been known this, especially with the PS3. I forgot what it is, but there's something on there that sometimes prevents the PS3 from being used with a Switch, because a lot of times you can't directly stream from a PS3 with external. I forgot what it's called. Someone's yelling at me on through their speakers, I'm sure. but it's something weird. And it's the PS4 I always had a problem with.
Wow.
With the splitters. But now with the TV I have, those are dedicated. Like the Series X, PS4, and the Switch are dedicated. But all the other ones, I'm like, you know what? I'll just do it manually. So Nathan, again, just buy yourself some little clips, stick them to the side of your entertainment unit or whatever. Because again, you're going to have to get up to turn these systems on anyway. Yeah. So while you're over there, might as well just switch out the HDMI wire. So that's...
Yeah, man. I'm with that 1,000%. Yeah.
So that's basically where we're at with that. All right. And of course, if you want to email us, email at theretrogamers.com. Email at theretrogamers.com. Felix, let me ask you a question actually before we go on. And this might be last minute. I apologize. A couple weeks ago, I lit the retro gaming world on fire when I said Breath of the Wild is a terrible video game on the Switch. So it kind of, do you agree with me or do you disagree?
No, 1,000%.
You see,
1,000%. And listen, a lot of people, like I said, we're going to have people screaming. That game was what we call grade A garbage. I'm sorry. I'm with you, man.
All right.
And if you want something, if you want a piece of us, give me hell yeah.
That's hell yeah. Or whatever it is in Spanish. I don't know how to say it in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll learn. Do you happen to have, because we're telling, again, fans out there, if you want to submit your unpopular opinions, you know, you can make a nice little short video, send it to us. You can send us a link, Dropbox, however you want to do it. And do you have like a unpopular opinion maybe that will get people after you on the internet?
Oh, they're gonna be upset. Hold on. A friend of mine, right? So yeah. I had I have Super Smash Brothers, right?
Okay.
So he didn't have it. So he's like, "Yo, I have Breath of the Wild. I know you never played it." I was like, "I'm not really interested in that game, bro." And he's like, "No, man, you try it out. You're gonna like." So he gave it to me, right? I let him borrow the Smash item, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as I got to a rock, all right, a rock. Mm-hmm. It's raining in the game, and I'm you have to climb.
Yeah,
and everything,
and
right?
You have stamina.
Yeah, you have stamina. Like,
just put a ladder there.
I mean, honestly. I don't understand this, right? So as I'm going, I keep falling, like because my stamina would run out, and I have to like go up a certain way for it to work.
Yep.
And I'm like, I have to do. This is the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait. I have to do this the whole game. And my friend's like, yeah, but you'll get used to it. I immediately give me my game back. Like the next day. I was like, give me my game back. I am not going through this. You know, and people love that game. I don't understand. Once I that element, when you put an element of that little, like that, it's climbing, you know, for you to put stamina. And you keep falling down and you die because you fell. It's not like you're dying off an enemy kill.
Exactly.
Or trying to defend yourself or whatever. You're dying off of falling. I was like, no, I can't play a game like that. I'm sorry. Trash. Yeah, man. Sorry, guys. Trash.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah, man. I'm with you.
A little bit more. All right, cool. Yeah. Excellent. So we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about, actually, we got a retro birthday, as we like to call it around here. 25 years, which actually, now I'm doing the math, I don't think that's an accurate count. 2006. I think it's more 35 years actually. Now that I look about it,
yeah, it has to be.
Right? Yeah, 86.
I was playing it when I was like three.
Yeah, exactly.
Four. Yeah,
we're talking about the Nintendo Play Choice 10. Play Choice 10 turns 35. 1986 to 1992 is when it ran. And the Play Choice 10 basically is Nintendo's. I would consider almost like a like an in-store kiosk selling point, because you were able to put 10 NES games, and basically they were full NES games into this arcade machine, and people were able to play NES games in the arcade. Play Choice 10 ran from again 86 to 92. It was discontinued July 31st. Of 1992, totally NES based. I don't say sequel, but it came after the old Nintendo Versus system.
Oh, okay.
If you remember that.
Yeah. Wasn't that in Japan?
There was some here, because I remember playing Versus Super Mario Brothers.
What? Yeah.
In the US. Yep.
Oh, what? See, I never got a chance to even touch that.
Yeah. You know? But this Play Choice 10, like, do you remember walking into an arcade and you're like, it's funny, like you walk in an arcade, oh, let me drop some quarters into this game that I probably already have at home.
Yeah. But it was so good. It was so good because you're there, like, you know, in person. But I remember I went to Barcade right there on 23rd Street, like around there in the city.
Oh, yes.
And they actually had that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I go to the back. I see Michael Jackson Moonwalker. I am literally in tears. Right. Because I'm like, oh my God. You know, I haven't played this since
a kid. Moonwalker. Yeah.
I put like $20 in there. But especially after the beers. Right. So, That's it. But when I seen the Play Choice, I was like, I have to drop a quarter in here. They had Mike Tyson Punch Out. So what I did was, go online on my phone to check the codes to get to Mike Tyson. Because I was like, I need to play with Mike Tyson in the arcade. I need to face him. I mean, obviously I lost. But it was just so good. Ding. It worked. The codes for Nintendo.
Yep.
Oh, that was awesome.
Because it's the NES games. Like, it's not an actual gray cart in the machine. You know, they have a motherboard or whatever, or a board that you put in. But and what was great about this as an arcade owner is that you can switch out the games whenever you wanted to.
That's kind of awesome.
Kind of like Neo Geo arcade did that.
Yes. They always had like four to five games somewhere on there.
Four or five games, and usually it always had like some sort of sports game, a shoot 'em up, a fighter, and Metal
Street Slug. Street hoops.
So what was great about the Play Choice 10 is there were 52 games in total that you could swap out for each other. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There was about 20 first party Nintendo games, Nintendo World Cup, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, just name a few, Kung Fu, all three Super Mario Brothers, Wild Gunman, pro wrestling, one of the greatest.
Yes. Starman. Yeah. Right? That's it. That was it for me.
Who I ended up seeing at Pro Wrestling Syndicate in New Jersey. There's a guy named Starman dressed up like. You never saw that?
No.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate, when they like just started, for a little while, they're on like New York 55, like, you know, like local television.
Yeah.
And wow, there was a guy, Starman. He came out to the music. He came out head to toe in pink with a star mask. He'd come out all, you know, jittery. I don't think he ever did the backflip dropkick, but it was hysterical.
No, I'm good. I'm YouTubing that today.
Definitely.
Today I'm YouTubing that. I might play the game right after.
Some just some third-party games to mention they had. 1942, Castlevania, Contra, Double Dragon, Double Dribble.
Oh, okay. Double Dribble.
all three Ninja Gaidens, Rad Racer, both Turtles. And Tecmo Bowl, just to name a few.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so this game, and it did at points, I can't tell you which game it might have been, but I definitely played at least two, maybe three games where I played it on the Play Choice. And then I'm like, I got to get this for Christmas, like, you know, for the home console.
Oh, definitely.
So it definitely worked its magic as far as doing that. But it's great to see, they're still around. The store I go to, Game On, out in Miller Place, Long Island, they have a Play Choice. And he's constantly switching around the games, which is awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
But what I always found weird is I did see, actually, even though it's not listed here on the Wikipedia page, I did see a Zelda game in the Play Choice, which there ain't a chance in hell you're beating out on one quarter.
Impossible.
Yeah. I got to go back and double check that out because it was definitely on there. Same with Metroid. You ain't doing that. It's like it ate up everyone's gauntlet. One quarter,
not even close. Oh, imagine they had Battle of Olympus on there.
Oh my god. Forget about it. Or Batman, you know, the NES Batman game, forget about it. So, but Play Choice then, 35 years, some great stuff. Definitely, and if you can find a Play Choice 10, you know, like Felix said, there's one, I think that's the Chelsea Barcade.
Yes,
that's yes, out there. If you're in Game On, check it out in Miller Place. Definitely find one of these relics. They're still running and they are still awesome, even though they're straight up NES games.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the experience, man. It's the experience, and the codes work.
They do
in the arcade.
They do the Contra code, Konami code, totally works.
It works. Yep. I can't play Mario, though. I don't know how people play. I can't. I mean, I Mario 3, I can't play on the Play Choice. You have to hold down B. You have to hold it to jump. You know, like, you're like this the whole time.
No. You're exactly right, because the Play Choice is a traditional, joystick. It's not a D-pad.
Yeah.
You're exact, because I tried playing, on the Switch, you can get versus Super Mario Brothers. It's one of the arcade archives. What? And that game, which again, those Versus series came out before the Play Choice, and Versus Super Mario Brothers is basically our Super Mario Brothers 1 with the difficulty ramped up just a little bit, and some levels from Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2 incorporated into Versus.
Which was the lost level, correct?
Okay,
I got you.
Nintendo thought was too difficult for us Americans to play originally. That's why we got our Super Mario Brothers 2. But so I finally got Versus Super Mario Brothers on home console. Awesome on the Switch. I went and bought that arcade stick, the ironically named Hori arcade stick, H-O-R-I, to try and mimic an arcade. And I could not play Super Mario Brothers with the arcade stick. I got to have a traditional.
You have to. Yep. I mean, it's made for that because you have to run and jump. You have to hold a lot of the game. You have to literally hold. Yep. To run to jump higher in certain areas, so for arcade it doesn't work out
good. Agreed. But so if you get a chance, definitely check out the Play Choice. Another talking about arcades, and we were all growing up, I think we all wanted some sort of arcade machine in our home.
Oh yeah.
There's always that one. I mean, I got the Ms. Pac-Man arcade 1-Up, which it's close enough, not an original, but it is what it is. It's just awesome to look at and everything. But if you're on a budget and you don't have that much room, there's a website called New Wave Toys. New Wave Toys. Yes. They put out like one quarter scale arcade machines. So the guys are probably about yay big. All right.
It's like the old Popeye. Remember like the in the 80s they had the little Popeye was green.
Oh yeah. Okay. No. A little bigger than that.
The batteries. Okay.
I know
okay.
what you're talking about. I had that Popeye. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, so good.
Friend of mine actually has a Donkey Kong of one of those.
No.
That's rough to find.
Oh man. I used to have to cover the top. You know, because the light, and you could be like this. That was, I used to do that all the time. My brother used to try to play. I used to be like, no, we've been fighting. Yeah, it was crazy.
You're jerry-rigging a roof for it. New Wave has put out a bunch of these arcade machines in the past. And they're basically absolute replicas of the original arcades. There's a Street Fighter II mini arcade machine. They're doing 1942 and 1943, respectively. They've done Tempest. They've done Centipede, even Dragon's Lair. But right now on pre-order, which by the time this episode's dropped, I think it's going to be the last day of the pre-order, is Q-Bert.
Q-Bert!
Q-Bert Replicade. And what's awesome about this is there's actually two versions of Q-Bert. Let me rephrase that. Not two versions of gameplay, but two versions of the cabinets that you can get. You can either get the regular Q-Bert cabinet, runs for $130 right now on the pre-sale, or you can get the Q-Bert Warren Davis edition. What this is, Warren Davis is the guy who created Q-Bert. And in his home, he has the engineering sample cabinet of Q-Bert that he's had for almost 40 years. Like the original demo machine, if you will.
What?
And really, there's nothing on it that says Q-Bert except for the bottom. The sides don't have Q-Bert art or anything on it. It's just a replica of his machine, which I think that's is kind of cool. Yeah.
Is it a little extra?
It is, of course, now, of course. Oh, yeah. $150.
Oh, it's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Well, not bad at all.
But Q-Bert, I mean, who doesn't love Q-Bert? Q-Bert's a good... Yeah. Q-Bert, the first foul-mouthed video game character that there is.
In the States.
But, yes.
In the States. In Japan, listen, they was...
it's a whole different ballgame over there.
They were going in. They were very... With the girls with the miniskirts. And all this stuff, you know, they're obsessed with the school girls. So I'm like, you know,
they do even the games nowadays still are like that. Everything's like Dead or Alive beach volleyball, and not only that, but we've talked about it in the past. There's an arcade game over there in Japan that it's a rhythm game, but you have to spank.
I've seen that.
It's like this should be like in a medical office for med students.
How many times have I had this arcade game? I forgot the name of it. Obviously, you know, I don't speak Japanese, but it's these two guys, right? And you chisel. There's a big statue, right? And you chiseled, right? And you are basically unchiseling a naked woman. Right. So basically by parts, right? Let's say you complete the first stage.
Yeah.
And the next screen would be a woman's leg.
Okay.
And the more you.
Oh, I gotcha.
She would be fully nude. Imagine as a 5-year-old and I'm walking through, I'm playing the game. I'm playing, mommy, I need quarters. This is the game forever. I need to see number 3.
Just give me a 5.
Like, I need to see number 3.
Just give me a 5, or I'll be here all day.
That's it. I can't believe it. I'm like, this is how they were in the arcade in Japan. 5-6 years old. You know, they getting them ready early.
That's like over in Brazil. They got like topless orange juice commercials during Teletubbies. So
like orange juice. You know, it's great. Come on, man. Yeah. I'm happy. I'm getting that. That's the brand for life. You know, for me. That's it. You know?
But Q-Bert, great puzzler game. Yeah. You can now own it home. Again, one of these little mini cabinets. Q-Bert. I mean, we were just talking about it even before we started. You were talking about Q-Bert, what, on PS3?
PS3,
you were
playing? Yeah. I had to get it. Once I said they did Q-Bert remade, I was like, oh, no, this is it for me. So I've been playing that. I played that.
Yeah, and that was also, I remember, part of a lot of games on the PS1. I remember they were re-releasing as like these new adventure games, Breakout, Qbert, Centipede, Missile Command. Like it was weird. Like they tried revitalizing them back then on the PS1.
Yeah.
But the HD graphics on the PS3 were really cool. And of course, Qbert's role in the movie.
And then you can press R1 and go to the new version or the old.
Yes. Game. Yeah. Yeah. While you were playing. Yep.
Awesome. Yep.
And I was going to say, you know, Qbert with his starring role in Pixels. The Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
But definitely check out New Wave Toys. They got a lot of cool stuff. Like they got Anthony got a USB splitter / charger, if you will, but it's shaped like the coin machines. You put the dollar in, you get change. It's like one of those.
It's like green, black and green.
Kind of, well, they had different colors.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
The bills in, you get your tokens.
That's awesome.
And like I said, tons of different machines. Like I keep eyeing the 1942 machine because I love the vertical scrollers. And the, I mean, you want to talk TurboGrafx-16. Shoot 'em ups, R-Type and their version of Gradius and some of the other ones.
Amazing.
It's funny, I didn't say it before when you were talking about it. That right now is what I'm collecting are TurboGrafx games.
I think we talked about it.
That's like my new system because I'm patiently waiting for Analog to release their Duo, which is their version of the TurboGrafx-16 and TurboGrafx-CD in one machine. And it's probably going to go for like $200, which is not a bad price at all for
that. That's not even close.
Analog is an amazing company. Like I said, they're like the Ferrari of these clone systems. So you pay, but what you get is what you pay for, which is amazing. If you can't get a TurboGrafx-16, you get an Analog Duo. That's how good these are.
That's how it is. All right.
So patiently waiting, but yeah, I'm just slowly collecting those games. I don't even know if they work right now. So I guess I'll be presently surprised when I finally get a system.
Oh, don't tell me that. That hurt me, man. That hurts, right? I'd be like,
It might.
That's what we talked about, the EverDrive. Remember the EverDrive?
EverDrive. And I might, I don't, you know,
Just to have it.
We did talk about it. You know, the EverDrive I might get for the TurboGrafx because it'll work on the Analog. But not only that, but a lot of these games for TurboGrafx are so ridiculously priced.
It's too much, man.
To collect is ridiculous. Someone pointed out, I think even on the show a few months ago, like, all right, with these emulators and stuff like that, it allows you to play these old games, these expensive games.
Super expensive.
And me being the collector that I am, if I love it enough, then I'll go and buy it. If I'm not crazy about the game, I don't think I'll go buy it. But now if I have a chance to actually demo it, I'll find it and, you know, I'll take it from there. So I might get my hands on an EverDrive.
One of my favorite games of all time is Legendary X, you know, and that's very pricey.
Yes.
You know, that's pricey. So it's worth it, man, just to play these games, you know, just to have them there.
You can
play them whenever, you know. So I'm a big, huge fan of the EverDrive.
Fair enough. Yeah. All righty. Yeah, I might even get one maybe for the Genesis. I'm debating it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Because you remember, you have with that one, you have Master System and Genesis. True. So you have both in one cartridge.
Are you able
all
to do
the Master System games and all the Genesis games in one? So it's ridiculous.
Do you know if you're able to do Sega CD? Oh, the hacks. Some of the hacks are great.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Do you know if you get Sega CD on those, or is that a little pushing it a little bit?
I think it's pushing a little
bit. All right, fair enough.
I think, I mean, maybe if they're doing it, maybe it's not out right now, but I've looked out for that, you know, because I've always wanted to play Night, the one with the girls. They're in the house party. They're having a house party.
Oh,
and then you go in the robbers. Oh my god!
Oh, Night Trap. Night Trap with Dana Plato. Yes, from Different Strokes.
I have been fiending for years to play that, man, and I have never gotten a chance. So
to get an original copy of that, forget about it. That'd be worth it.
Oh, I can imagine.
Awesome. So like I said, get your hands on those little mini arcades over there at New Wave Toys. Definitely some cool stuff. And we're gonna get ready to wrap up this episode, but I got some news just to go over some real quick. And Felix, you know, definitely chime in if you have some ideas here. What we have happening, first of all, there's this insane craze going around for video games that are selling for way too much money. We talked about the Zelda, Legend of Zelda cart that sold for almost $900,000. The Super Mario 64 cart in box sold for over a mil. Over a mil. It's insane. Now, this, though, I think is worth the money that it's sold for. Do you remember the Game Boy Advance e-reader? I don't know if you remember this peripheral.
It came, was that with the cards?
Like, yes, you swipe the cards.
Swipe the cards.
Fun little peripheral, had some games on it, pretty cool. Just recently, probably the rarest Nintendo e-reader card ever has been found and sold. It was a Kirby contest card from E3 2002. And basically these were handed out at E3, which was even before it was open to the public, because E3 back then was just for the consumers or the people in the field. And you pass by Nintendo booth, they handed out, they had tons of these cards, and you swipe it on your e-reader, you know, either sorry didn't win or first or second place. And first place, I think you just got some swag. Like, there wasn't even anything major. But just recently uncovered is a first prize Kirby e-reader card. Now, the reason why this is very rare and exclusive is because all the other first prize cards, once you showed Nintendo that you won, they destroyed the card right then and there. So they, you know, you can't go back and redo it.
What?
So, yeah, so there, you know, and again, back then, who knew? So this is a actual first place winning card, one of maybe 20, I think, or something like that. And they know it's it because it's not destroyed, because all the other ones were just torn in half and thrown away.
Wow. And this, we're talking about almost what, 20 years, right?
E3 2002. 19,
like 19?
In fact, the cards were redeemable for 3 days, from May 22nd to the 24th of 02.
Wow.
So that's all it was. And, I'm sorry, there were 100 second prize cards and 10 first prize cards. So that's what it was.
Even rare.
This card just recently sold for $10,600. And I feel that this is almost worth it, because you can actually prove that this is one of one or one of a few.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo's, they destroyed all the other ones right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty interesting.
I think that's amazing. I think I 100% agree with that. It's definitely worth that 10,000.
No, yeah, totally.
You know, because I mean, it's only 10. They, like you said, they destroy it.
Yeah.
So for them to even find that, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and like, it was never redeemed. That's how you know it was never redeemed. So it's pretty
crazy.
Cool. So, you know, we were talking about Mike Tyson's punch out before, and this happened with Mike Tyson, even though a lot of people think it had everything to do with him going to jail. Supposedly it was just his contract running out, but Mike Tyson's punch out eventually became punch out without Mike Tyson.
Yes. With Mr. Dream.
Exactly.
Mr. Dream.
So this recently happened to Charles Barkley. So being released on the Evercade, we talked about this before. Evercade's a little handheld system. Also, you have the Evercade Versus. You plug into your TV, removable cartridges with all legit games on them. All cool stuff. The Pico Interactive Collection 2 features a game called, let me just see how the, well, originally it was Charles Barkley's Shut Up and Jam.
Damn, I remember 1 and 2. They came
One and two.
I remember that.
These games are featured on the Pico Interactive Collection 2. Just so happens that Charles Barkley is not in the game. He's been replaced by the still being looked for in the annals of NBA history, Mr. Joe Hoops. So it's Joe Hoops, Shut Up and Jam. I don't know if that's Joe the official Hoops name for it.
Shut Up and Jam.
And what they did was they basically, I didn't send this to you, Felix. I got to send it to you later. Do you remember Barkley Shut Up and Jam 1 and 2?
Yes, okay. One of the worst games ever.
Oh, totally.
Do you
vaguely remember the title screen? Like of him slamming on the one.
The other one. Yeah, the other one like this. Yep.
Well, the Joe Hoops character, basically, just imagine replacing Charles Barkley's face with Big E's face.
And
that's like the only way I can explain, which is now called Hoops Jam.
Oh man, I mean, it sounds better than Joe. Who, you know, it sounds better than that. Yes, it is a little bit. You know.
So poor Charles Barkley, I don't even think he's aware of it, but obviously, due to contractual reasonings, he's not in it. Same thing also, there's a game on the Evercade cart called Power Football. Originally, Mike Ditka is Power Football.
So, oh, okay.
Obviously, these
are... I wasn't a big fan of that one.
No, neither was saw this. I thought it was pretty funny. Poor Charles Barkley getting bumped from his own game.
That's like when Mike Tyson did the Galactic... Remember Galactic...
Yes. Galactic Boxing or something, yeah.
He definitely didn't know what was going on right there. There's no way he knew his name was out.
I think that was supposed to be Punch-Out 2.
Yeah, that was supposed something to be like Punch-Out 2. Yeah. Like Super Nintendo or Genesis, yes, something like that.
Yeah. So real quick, did you watch Space Jam 2?
I did.
All right, well, not going to get into the idea of the movie itself, but there's a Game Boy featured in there, right?
I was so angry. Right,
I saw you mention.
I put this up on Facebook. Right, so I said, I don't understand. It's 1989. Right, as a person, you know, I was like 15, 1998, maybe 14. I was not playing a Game Boy at 14 years old. We had PS1, we had N64, No Mercy. We had, you know, No Mercy came out later. No, a little later.
It was
WCW.
Even if you stuck to the handhelds, by then you would have Game Boy Color. Well, you would have Game Boy Color because the Advance came out in 2002. But yeah. You definitely, yeah, playing an old
Game Gear.
Game Boy, probably not. Game Gear?
No, yeah. Game Gear, you know, I'm not.
TurboGrafx Express?
Come on. And the Atari Lynx, we had the Lynx.
Yeah, well, Lynx. Anyway.
Yeah, but still so good. It was still, for me, it was like the fact that you can turn it up in this way or this way, that's it. You know?
But the movie takes place in 98 and he's rocking a
it starts off as him as a kid. He's talking to his mom, he's about to go play a game. He goes, he's sitting down, his friend comes and he's like, here, this is for you. And he's starting to play, you know, and it's the Bugs Bunny game, which was really good, actually.
Oh, I Crazy Castle. Yes.
Yeah, actually, it was really good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And then he starts playing the game. He's like, my dad bought me a Game Boy Color, so I don't need this one.
Oh, at least they mentioned it.
At least they mentioned it.
Right. But
he didn't bring it out, though. They didn't show the
Game Boy Color. Okay.
Then he throws away the Game Boy in a garbage.
It's LeBron James.
I was like, there's no way you're doing that, man. You know, you're not throwing a Game Boy in the garbage, man. You know, so it's crazy.
All righty, a couple of things to mention just real fast. First of all, Netflix expanding into video games, and it looks like they've gone on record saying it will be at no additional cost.
Yes,
thank God.
I'm excited.
Someone actually not trying to nickel and dime us. I don't think there's really any major news yet on what this means by Netflix going into the gaming world. I don't know if it's going to be something like the Google Stadia. Or Amazon just released their Luna, which is all cloud-based gaming. For the record, I have recently canceled my Google Stadia account.
Good.
$10 a month. You know what the problem with Stadia was? All right, so here's the thing with Stadia. Great idea. To me, it's a great concept. You have no physical system other than the Chromecast Ultra. And even now, I think some TVs themselves can do it. And it's all cloud-based gaming. So all the updates happen on the back end. I like that idea. You know, all my movies are in the cloud. My games, my new games are in the cloud, mostly because of storage reasons, no other reasons. You know what? I ask this to everyone. Let me ask you, are you a digital person or are you a physical media person?
No, physical.
Everything.
All
movies, music, day. Everything. All right.
All day.
Fair enough.
Have a big Blu-ray collection. I'm trying to get into that 4K, but I don't have a PS5 yet.
Fair enough.
Or, you know, stuff like that. So
fair enough.
I'm definitely physical. Listen.
So, which is fine. Like I said, the only reason why I'm digital really is just storage. That's really the only reason. So in any event, so Stadia, I like the idea, but the problem is the games are coming out so late on Stadia compared to the other systems. And they're coming out full price on Stadia when they're already discounted. On other systems, like best example I have right now is Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, which is if you love Symphony of the Night, Castlevania from PS1.
Oh yeah, I heard it's that series.
Same guy created it. So, but it came out on the home consoles like a year ago, and I think it's just coming out on Stadia. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's how I felt about the Switch, man, when the Switch tried to do that Bayonetta.
Yes.
Like, how the hell are you charging $40?
You're not the first person to mention you know what I mean? This week.
This is a
Bayonetta thing, yeah.
Hey, you know, this was like 20 years ago, man.
No, totally. That's Nintendo for you. Know, I always buy Nintendo first party right off the bat because first party games never go on sale. And when they do, it's like $5 off.
Yeah, that's
so, not even worth it. But yeah, so I don't know if this is going to be cloud exclusive with Netflix or like my one buddy who still gets physical DVDs in the mail from Netflix. Like he still has that.
Wow.
It's all right. He's old. So
he puts him in there. He goes to the mailbox.
He does. He gets every time I go to his house, I find it sitting there. I'm like, what is this? What movie is this? You cannot find on streaming. So it's a Hurt Locker. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you can rent it for $4. So, so I don't know what to tell you. But no, they still have that.
I can't believe that.
So more news to come out as far as how the Netflix gaming is going to work, but at least it won't be any extra cost. Which is good. And the final thing I want to mention is Nintendo Switch with their online NES and SNES library.
Okay.
Which is cool. You know, it's worth the $20 a year.
Yeah, definitely worth it.
But now the games are getting kind of weird that they're releasing. They just announced this week three SNES games. No NES. Three SNES games, I think two of which were European exclusive. Mm. First game called Claymates.
Awesome games.
Now, don't get it confused with Clay Fighters.
No. Claymates. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you can turn it. Yeah, you can turn into a mouse.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Awesome game. Awesome game.
There we go. All right. I'm in on that one. All right. Two games that might not be weird. Next game is definitely a European game called Jelly Boy, which.
I did not like that game.
Okay, you played it.
Yeah, because I have an EverDrive. I have
this.
I go in.
But still, so there's some odd games you to find.
Yeah, I can't do it though. That game, that's a negative.
Fair enough. Yeah. And then a game called Bomboozle. No, I haven't played that one yet.
No, I didn't play that one. That one, I don't think I got a chance to.
Actually, I think here in the U.S. it was called Kablooey. So, but still, haven't played it. So,
you know, what was a good game, Bazooka. Bazooka Joe was
a bubblegum.
No. It's something Joe. Hazardous Joe.
There's Beautiful Joe, but that was more on the GameCube.
Yeah. No, it was like Hazardous Joe or something like that. You're this big, and you're like you have a jetpack and you shoot like nail guns, but it's claymation.
Oh.
They made a claymation. Yeah, that's why I brought it up. Oh, man. I forgot it's called Humongous Joe, something like that, maybe.
We're going to remember it as soon as we're done recording.
Yeah, that's right? That's always happens.
So so three more games coming out on the Nintendo Switch SNES library this week. Check it out. And that's basically about it on everything. Mm. So let's wrap it up. Felix, thank you very much.
Thank you guys, man.
For being
happy,
on the
like
show,
I said, 5 years.
Thank you.
I just want to give a couple, just like a shout out.
Absolutely.
July 31st, East 86th Street, Carl Schultz Park. I will be there 6:30 to 8:30. It's a free comedy show. Come laugh, join, embrace, you know, and have fun. That's it, man. Hopefully I get to see you guys out there.
I hope so, too. So definitely this may be the first time you're on the show. Absolutely not the last time you're going to be on the show.
Thank you so much, guys.
No, absolutely. And I'm just happy to be able to talk with you, brother. We haven't done this in a long time.
Long time, man.
Stupid pandemic.
Man.
So,
So
very happy. And where can they find you on social media?
Oh, yeah, man. Instagram. You can do Dominican Stone Cold on Instagram.
Give me one more. One more Dominican Stone Cold.
Yeah, okay. Give a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then Felix Vicioso, V-I-C-I-O-S-O on Facebook.
All right. Of course, with us, you can find us practically everywhere. Just do a search, Retro Gamers Podcast, Instagram, right. Retro Gamers Podcast. We're on YouTube, IGTV. Again, email us your unpopular opinion video, email at theretrogamers.com. And I think there's only one fitting way to sign off. I'm going to ask for at least one more Stone Cold. Just give us that final send off, that normal.
Houston Alenio Pavajo, focus Stone Cold DC.